our big talking point is going to rotate around gaming, betting, gambling, and the addictions that come with it, and what the regulator is doing to make sure that they do regulate all the vices, all the challenges that come with that addiction. And yes, in studio, we will be joined by the Chief Executive Officer of the National Series and Gaming Regulatory Board, that's Mr. Dennis Mundene Ngabirano, and he will be sharing with us what exactly you need to know about gambling in Uganda and what measures they are doing to make sure that they do curb that addiction. But Felix, good morning, and how has your week been?
Good morning, Clive. Good morning, Zali, to our Sanyu FM listeners out there. How has the week been? The week has been quite fantastic. It has been full of so many things which are disheartening to you, to sport in general, but mostly to football.
You sound like a disappointed Senegal fan.
I am not a Senegalese fan, but I am a sports enthusiast, I'm a sports lover, I'm someone who advocates for transparency, and as someone who is in the business of communications, I head the public relations department at Capital One Group. When you deal with brands and brand reputation, and you see what has happened to African football by the club. This is not just about having bad press, Clive. This is not about having small egg on face. This is now a legitimate crisis.
A legitimate crisis
that we even do not know, and I believe even the CAF officials and top management, when they sit down there in the boardrooms and what, they don't have a clue of what to do at the moment. Because when you put aside public negative sentiment, when it comes to the question of restoring trust, transparency, accountability, the question of restoring sports integrity, CAF has dug its own hole. How are they going to do that? Because leave alone the fact that we're going to have already so many boycotts coming up, we're going to have legal battles, we are going to have sponsors withdraw from wanting to associate themselves with this particular tournament. Leave alone now the other national teams, which will definitely come out and say, if this has happened, then it can also happen to us. We do not also want to take part in the AFCON anymore. Now, how do you handle something like that?
Well, if you're just joining us, what Felix is talking about, this week on Tuesday night, coming into Wednesday morning, the Conference of African Football, CAF, through their appeals board, did release a statement, and just to read it the way it is, they decided that the application of Article 84 of the regulations, we shall be looking at that article in a few, of the regulations of the CAF, Africa Cup of Nations, the Senegal national team is declared to have forfeited the match over the Total Energies Africa Cup of Nations Morocco 2025, with the result of the match being recorded as a 3-0 in favor of Morocco. What that means is that Senegal are no longer the champions of the 2025 Africa Cup of Nations, and Morocco is. The reasons they are giving is the fact that Senegal walked off the pitch in stoppage time when a penalty was awarded to Morocco, and they stayed off the pitch for close to 17 minutes. The word for fate in Luganda, to put it in simple Luganda, is baguiwa. But in the actual sense, the baguiwa, because after 17 minutes, they returned, and the game was played to completion. Morocco missed a penalty, Senegal score an extra time winner, and they are crowned African champions. Of course, Morocco weren't satisfied. They took the matter to the CAF disciplinary board, which dismissed their request to overturn the result. And they went ahead and appealed to the CAF appeals board, which did apply the Article 85 of the regulations, and they overturned the results. Senegal have since come out and said they are taking the key issue to the Court of Arbitration for Sports.
Now, before we go into Court of Arbitration for Sports, the five members of the appeals committee who were in that meeting, because the meeting is supposed to have nine members, four of them were absent during that. So the five members who came up with this decision, one, you have to ask yourselves, did they consider the fact that even in the rules and regulations, the referee is the last man?
Without a doubt.
The referee is supposed to make the final decision on the outcome of a particular fixture. The referee decided that the match should continue, that we went into extra time, and a winner was decided. So all of that has been put aside. And to our listeners out there, I don't want to go into Rule 82 and Rule 84 and the stipulations and everything. When you come down to sports and even general organization and administration, there are certain things which are as basic as they can ever be, and that is common sense. Now, the five members who are seated making up this, coming up this decision, where was that aspect of common sense to look at what is the repercussion when we actually go down this road? Which can of worms have we opened when we go down this road? What does it mean to African football when we go down this road? You will not host tournaments without money. What does it mean to the sponsor? One, as a sponsor, do I still want to be associated with such a tournament? As a sports wear manufacturing brand, do I still want my brand to be part of an organization which does not seem transparent, which has no accountability, which is looked at as one where decisions are made in a boardroom, whereby my brand is going to be associated with inconsistency, lack of transparency? You know, I don't want to be part of that, so I'm going to withdraw.
By the way, Felix, you're talking about the appeals boards, which the CAF president came out and said that
had an, is a very which is not right.
Yeah, exactly, because Mr. Ben Nasri, who is from Tunisia, happens to be the FA president of Tunisia. This was already wrong to have a member of a member association actually being a member of
that
the appeals board, because it is supposed to have independent people from different parts of Africa, and these are supposed to be lawyers or judges, not an active administrator.
That is conflict of interest. I just mentioned at the start of the show that when you look at the kind of worms that has been opened into these legal battles already, that is, it has already started, and so many things are still going to creep up. Just when all that news broke and everything with this whole confusion happening, Guinea came up and called for Morocco to be stripped of the 1976 AFCON title because Morocco players left the pitch for about 15 minutes during a crucial game against Guinea. Guinea believes that the trophy should have been awarded to them instead. At that time,
where the rules applicable at the time.
At the time, Clive, the tournament used to be played under a group format. Guinea led 1-0. But after a red card, Morocco protested and briefly walked off before returning. The match ended 1-1, which secured Morocco the title.
50 years ago.
Yeah, 1976. While Guinea finished second, Guinea's report follows CAF's recent decision to strip Senegal of the 2025 AFCON title, because already legally they have set precedent. So now a lot of things are going to be worked backwards. Now this is not something that you need as a brand, as an association as big as CAF, because at the moment you don't have any PR gimmick tactic that you can use to get out of this. The only way forward is to govern yourself out of this mess. Are they ready to do that? It has taken them 58 days to come up to this conclusion. Okay.
After now, pressure from Morocco, and during that period, Morocco were actually hesitant on hosting other competitions they were supposed to host, because as we speak at the moment, the Women Africa Cup of Nations was supposed to go on in Morocco. It has since been suspended. The CAF has never given us reasons why it was suspended, rather postponed. I beg your pardon. And on postponing it and giving us new dates, in their press release, they never confirmed which country we are going to host it. But remember, during that period, South Africa came out and told us, if Morocco don't want to host this competition, we are ready to host this competition. Already they knew there was something that wasn't right, because Morocco were probably putting pressure on CAF and telling them, unless this issue is sorted, we don't want anything to do with you.
Anything to do with football until you clear this. But you clear this onto our own favors and terms. So CAF have, they've not actually shot themselves in the foot. This is clearly digging your own grave.
Well, Senegal taking the issue to the Court of Arbitration for Sports, and still countries like South Africa and other countries of the African continent have come out and said that if they need their legal support, they are here to support
them. That's what I was talking about. Legal battles, sponsors pulling out. And it took them 58 days, Clive, to come up with this conclusion. Now, what will happen when they go back to talks? Is this something that is going to take
I don't think they are going to go back to talks, because once the Court of Arbitration for Sports makes a decision, of course it is the supreme body that governs, that rules over sports disputes in the world. The CAF president, also Patrick Motsepe, came out and said that whatever decision will be made by the Court of Arbitration for Sports is going to be respected by CAF. And so many people strongly believe that the Court of Arbitration for Sports is going to overrule the CAF appeals boards, and Senegal will be reinstated as the 2025 Africa Cup of Nations champion.
Will Senegal even want to take part in the tournament anymore?
Of course they will.
because after this,
they are not that petty.
But CAF, by all ways and all formats of what they have done, they have been acted petty.
If there is anybody who is likely,
they
are sore losers. And if there is anybody who is likely not to take part in future competitions, and they have said this precedent before, in this case it's actually Morocco, because they're going into the 2022 or 2023 Chan Championship that was in Algeria. You know, they have their own political battles. Morocco was supposed to fly to Constantine, where they camp with, and Algeria were telling them to use a different route or stuff like that, and they were insisting on using another route. The CAF could not settle that. FIFA could not settle that. What Morocco did was pulling out of the tournament. Yet they were the defending champions of that tournament. So if there's anybody who has set that kind of precedent, in this case, it is Morocco.
And what baffles me within this whole thing is that I believe they have a crisis management department. There's no way CAF cannot have that. What
the crisis management department did its job on the day of the final, making sure that Senegal returned on the pitch.
From the time this information came out, from the time that it has come out, I think even the crisis, the management department is overwhelmed by how to handle this particular matter, because I've not seen any top African player come up and use their socials and what
they have actually. The Senegalese George Weah, the former Liberian president, so many people have come out and they have shared their views. Their views are not being amplified.
Yeah, but the narrative is still the same. The narrative has not yet changed, because at the moment, one of the first things that you control when you're dealing with public sentiment is controlling the narrative. Now, the narrative is totally against CAF in all of this. And emotions are very important when handling it.
And I don't like the fact that the people who are probably responsible in trying to clear this image are so desperate to clear the image of the CAF president in Patrice Motsepe, are trying to tell us how he was not involved in the decision. He's not a member. Yes, we understand he's not a member of the appeals board. He wasn't involved in the decision. But the elephant in the room here is the precedent that has not been set, not whether the CAF president is clean or not clean in this case. But of course, it is a matter, Felix, that will continue to follow.
But it smells and looks and is well-dressed corruption in all forms that it can ever be presented.
Yeah, but let's wait for the Court of Arbitration for Sports and how they'll be ruling on this one. But we do, bringing it back home, we do have something that is happening this weekend, and this is the Enterprise Cup. Four teams are from Uganda, taking on four teams are from Kenya. You're talking about Cobs, who are going to be taking on Nando's Scripts in Nakuru. Then you also have the Toyota Buffaloes, who are going to be taking on Menengai Oilers, are still in Nakuru. But also here in Kampala, Uganda, you have Hiddens, who are going to be taking on Kabra Sugar here at the Mtesa 2 Stadium in Wankulukuku. Then you have the Black Pirates, who will be taking on the KCB rugby team from Nairobi, Kenya. The game day in Kampala are kicking off at 2 p.m. That's for the Hiddens. Then you have the Pirates game kicking off at 4 p.m. It's a regional tournament that has been around in the past. And now they're just trying to
revive it as they try
to have more competitions around the region beyond the national teams that are playing in the Urban Cup and other competitions.
Well, this tournament could not come at a way more opportune time when you look at Ugandan rugby. And like we mentioned last week, it's the best opportunity for Uganda to try and test itself against our brothers and see where we stand. I like the attitude and persona of Pirates coach Marvin Long. He believes that a fish should not be celebrated for swimming, and he believes his charges are ready to take on the KCB rugby this afternoon in the last game at Wankulukuku. And he's maintaining his front line with Ariho Mugumuza, Nathan Mwambare, coming with Emong Elfaz in the lock, and Frank Kidega, Moses Ziwa, Alex Aturinda. But the biggest job is going to be when it comes to the captain, Isaac Massa, in how he's going to ensure that his charges can hold that defense line all throughout that 80 minutes. It's not going to be an easy job out there, and all eyes definitely have to be on Pirates. They're the double champions, the league champions, Uganda Cup champions. So this is the moment. You're up against the big boys. You have to walk the talk.
Is this another way to prove that actually Ugandan rugby at a club level is also taking a direction that many people believe that it should be taking in terms of growth?
Yes, definitely. In terms of growth, it is very good. When you fight yourself against someone, a team that you believe is more exposed than you, when you look at the tactics that they're going to be employing, how do you adapt to games? How do you adapt to the pressure? How do you resist? And how mostly do you know what to do and when to do it? Players need to understand and learn this, and these are some of the opportunities that they get to do this. Previously, rugby has been having this with the Bamburi series. Now the Enterprise Cup is the best opportune moment to do this. And for Pirates, they have the advantage. They will be on home ground. So the fans also have to come in big to cheer their boys.
So what is home ground in Wankulukuku beyond having your fans there?
We are in Uganda. Come on.
This is a neutral. This feels like a neutral ground for both Pirates and Hidden.
Not every fan was able to make the trip to Nairobi. So for rugby fans around Uganda, definitely, even if it means moving from Jinja, from Bara, from Fort Poto, you definitely would make the trip to come and support your home team against a Kenyan opposition.
Yeah, but I mean, if it was Kings Park or Legends or whatever, you would say Oshadon, you would say it's that bit of advantage.
Yeah, definitely, but still, the home ground is still home ground. And we have the home advantage in this particular one. So definitely the work is going to be cut out for us. It's going to not be an easy fight out there. Hopefully, we are going to pick from the lessons learned and walk away with the victory. But mostly the lessons moving forward.
Because the tournament is starting at the quarterfinal stage. The winners of these ties then advance to the semifinals.
And you have to also give it up to teams like Buffaloes getting such an opportunity to come up and weigh themselves. It will help them make so many changes. The league is at a time when so many things and surprises have shocked the rugby fraternity. They started with the big boys losing. And we definitely will not know and are eager to see who will be the champions. And remember, after this weekend, we have our traditional rivalry coming up, Hopes and Heathens. So this is like embracing a station for them.
Is it still that big?
Yes, it is.
Okay, tradition, when you use the word traditional rivalry.
Felix,
before we go for the break, of course, the third stint of Stephen Tikola, the head coach of the Cricket Cranes, also started. Currently, they're on tour in Namibia. They have played already two T20 internationals, the first one, losing by 8 wickets. Yesterday, they were recovered to defeat the same team by 7 wickets. So they'll take a break today. Is it today or yesterday? They actually no return today with the first of the three ODIs that they are supposed to play in Namibia. They are preparing for the Regional World Cup qualifiers that will be in Nigeria later this year, together with the Challenge League B that will be in Tanzania. It should be in August.
Yeah, definitely. But for Tikola, when you look at the structure of our cricket team, how did we make it to the World Cup? We had a more proper structure running there. So the same thing has to be applied here. We need a better team physio. We need a game analyst. We need a psychologist onto the squad. You're shaking your head when I mention a psychologist.
In sports?
Yes, definitely.
In Ugandan sports?
We need so, because these are tough pressure. There's a lot of pressure on these players. And, you know, why I'm talking psychologist is because you have to break that mental breakdown within those young players. You have to make them believe. You have to make them feel that they can do it. You have to make them believe that the other team is not actually stronger than them. And all that comes from personal motivation, and you need to talk to a specialist to do that. Some of these things
is beyond coaching.
Some of these things are not just by tactics and what. There are other aspects involved in getting a team to win, and that is the mental aspect about it. So he needs that. And also, how do we analyze our statistics against our opponents? So that we know where we are faring, what do we need to do. So a team analyst is really required, and the physio, because the players need to be in proper shape to do that. Once he has that, I believe we'll be on the right track for qualification.
You're sending us back to New Zealand in 2007. Well, let's wait and see. Of course,
definitely. There's nothing that comes wrong with believing. So we have to believe, and we shall be there. Other than that, the system just needs a few tickling out there. And definitely, we need more neutralized players. to get on two boards.
Well, before we go to the break, just to let you know that the quarterfinal lineup for the Stanbic Uganda Cup has also been confirmed. Not the lineup, but the teams that have qualified for the quarterfinals. The Sports Club Vida defeated Maroons at the round of 16, 1-0 to qualify for the quarterfinals. The Neck Football Club were 2-0 winners over Lugazi to qualify for the quarterfinals. The KCCA defeated Onduparaka Football Club at 5-0 at Lugogo to qualify for the quarterfinals. The Happy Boys, a regional league side, defeated the 6 o'clock 1-0 to qualify for the quarterfinals. The Chitra Football Club were also 6-0 winners to qualify for the quarterfinals. Express Football Club defeated Red Devil 4-0 to make it to the quarterfinals. The Vipers, the defending champions, were also 4-0 winners. They did qualify for the quarterfinals, with Uganda Revenue Authority also defeating Topa. That was a 3-0 yesterday at Nachibubo to qualify for the quarterfinals. If I'm not mistaken, the quarterfinal draw will be held this coming week in Mengo, and we'll be knowing which team will be playing against who. But also this week, the patron, owner, founder, president of Vipers Sports Club came out and confirmed that his players will be taking home 300 million Uganda shillings if they win the Uganda Premier League. He already gave them 50 for finishing on top of the table in the first round. So he told them the take-home cash is 3 million Uganda shillings. Last season, he gave them 200 million Uganda shillings for winning the league. And just for emphasis, the league winner, the official cash price for the league winner is 60 million Uganda shillings.
60 million, and look at the cash that is on offer. Is this good for Ugandan football? Is it good for
It should be a wake-up call.
Oh, should other players also pick a leaf from this?
Other club owners.
Yeah. Mm. Should they pick a leaf from this?
Yeah, they should. I mean, you need to motivate these players if they are going to get you the results.
But this motivation also could go two ways. I'm looking at a player telling the other that you have this money at hand, so if I let you win, would you give me part of that money?
No, it doesn't happen like that. But let's go for a breather. When we return, we dive straight into our main discussion of the day. Well, you're still listening to the Sports Unlimited Show. Clive Chaze is my name, in studio with Felix Elpao. And yes, if you are just joining us, we do have a guest, the Chief Executive Officer of the National Lotteries and Gaming Regulatory Board. That is Mr. Ngabirano Dennis Modene. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Clive. Good morning to you, Felix, and good morning to you, all our SANU FM listeners.
Thank you for honoring our invitation, and I also just found out that you are a staunch Arsenal fan. So we have two people who badly want to make a case.
Just a few hours, Clive. So just hold your breath. From the quadruple. One of the boxes is going to be checked on Sunday, 7:30 p.m. at Wembley. Yeah. So let's continue.
Yes, this show is special in a way, and we are also dedicating it to people out there who are listening to us right now. For starters, you are listening to us and you are in disappointment because your kapapula from last night didn't go according to plan. This show is dedicated to you who is listening to us at the moment, while you're also wondering which games you should be betting on today so that you recover some money to take you through the weekend. This show is dedicated to you who spent the night awake because you kept on refreshing your phone, checking to see of MPR and UACBA Chiroji Akuteyo. This show is dedicated to you who is about to stake your tuition, to stake your rent on Arsenal beating Man City tomorrow because you want to multiply your money and take care of your business. Because issues to do with addiction when it comes to betting, gambling and gaming in this country are very serious. That is why we invited Mr. Ngabirano here, the CEO of the regulator. First of all, to help us understand the numbers. You are part of that statistic if you listen to us and you are a gamer. And what measures they are putting in place to make sure they curb the issue of gaming or gambling addiction in this country. So, CEO, to probably get the discussion underway, what would be the background of gaming, gambling, casino in Uganda?
Thank you, Clive. For starters, people need to know that gaming, gambling or betting has been in existence for over 60 years. And until 2016, we had a 1967 act that was repealed in 2016, and there came in the Lotteries and Gaming Act, now CAP 334, which then established the National Lotteries and Gaming Regulatory Board that is mandated to supervise and regulate the establishment, management, and operations of lotteries, gaming, betting, and casinos in Uganda. Mm. And most important, to protect the citizens against the adverse effects of gaming.
To protect the citizens. And the people you are trying to protect at the moment, first of all, how many are they in number?
Well, with the statistics that we have currently, we recently established what we call a National Central Electronic Monitoring System. This is a system that is enabling us to monitor what we call significant events that do happen on operator systems. So, of course, among the statistics we get is how many people have created accounts on operator systems and how many are active. So at the moment we have about 1.6 million registered players.
In players you also consider these are now accounts?
No.
Or individuals?
Individuals. And the accounts, they are running about 10 million accounts. So that means one player is holding close to six accounts in different
companies.
So what, 1.6 running 10 million accounts.
And as Felix comes in, what exactly do these people bet on?
From the statistics we have, the most betted on games now at the moment are online casino games, or what we call the crash games. But the most driver to these betting sites is actually not the online casino games, it's the sports betting, especially the English Premiership League. That is the driver that drives these players to these sites. But of course, after they've staked, because you know, many have already staked for Arsenal Man City, which is happening tomorrow. So as they wait, then they start playing these instant games. We call them the crash games. The aviators of this world, the Jet X. So those are the...
You're literally passing a computer because it is not even live sport.
So that, those are what we call RNG-based games, random number generator games. Yeah, that are instant. They take about 10 to 20, 1 minute to get a result.
Philip.
Well, when it comes to betting, Clive and Dennis, one of the hardest things is that it's purely the biggest drive is adrenaline. That excitement that drives you to uncertainty, to risk. You know, you have this feeling of hope. If I fail this time, I'll get it in the next one. So definitely, if you fail at this incident, or
what we call Coca-Cola appeal.
So that it pushes you further. So and God and somehow luck is on your side. You appeal and you. So now you're hooked. So because you're hooked, every single time you get some carito money, a portion of it is going to be put what? It's going to be put aside. And the thing with handling someone who has, let's say, a betting addiction, is that you're not going to convince them to stop. Because naturally, the adrenaline is part of their body. The thing is just to convince them and create awareness of the dangers of this and how to control it. That is a not-ending process that you have to keep on doing over and over and over.
See, earlier on, before you came on air, you shared a staggering number, something that sent shockwaves through my system of how much people actually bet on a daily or something like that.
I think the number you saw was the number of the amount staked. If I use last year's statistics that were previously shared, Ugandans betted about 8 trillion Ugandan shillings.
Last year, 8 trillion.
Yeah, so... But this is not only sports betting. We are talking of sports betting, we are talking of slot machines, we are talking of casinos, we are talking of bingo games. So all put together. So it's I would not say it's not it's a big number, yes, but mostly this is coming out because of the heightened compliance, the visibility that a gaming board has, and we don't focus on the money. Our focus now is on responsible gaming.
Yes.
How do we protect the people who are betting? And from the statistics and info we have, the most people who are gambling are actually not the youth, the school-going children. It's the corporates. It's you and I. The people who are employed have a salary and definitely have what I would call disposable income. And from what Felix said, I think one thing we must emphasize is that gaming, betting, gambling is just entertainment. It's not going out to get money to take you through the weekend. It's not something you go in to get money and pay for your basic needs. No. We encourage people to only spend that they can afford to lose, because it's simply and simply entertainment.
Well, many look at it as a form of entertainment, but on the contrary, there are a group of individuals, a bunch of youth, who actually take this as a full-time job. They wake up in the morning, dress up very well, and go sit down, just get a machine, get internet, and actually follow the previous games, follow performances, follow odds, right? So they walk up to you, or you walk up to them, actually. They don't walk up to you. They advertise. Now the social media makes it very easy. So you go to them and you pay a certain amount of money, and for that amount of money, you get a number of games which are sure. So definitely you don't have to go through the hassle of, let me look at this team, let me look at this.
Somebody's doing the job for you.
You just have a list of games, and then you go and place money. That is how, what should I call it, the diversification of betting.
We are really having a challenge, and it's good you raised it, Felix, especially from the people we call tipsters,
yes,
who are mostly sports show presenters. They share the betting code, and clearly they say this is a sure win. That service is paid for.
Is it within the regulations? Is that something that is should continue going on?
No, we actually held an engagement with USPA, where we brought it to the attention that those doing it are doing it illegally. Because we have a license called the Betting Game Intermediary License, where we are supposed to license them and give them conditions within which to operate. And this has been an ongoing discussion with the USPA, who are now part of our key stakeholders that pledged to undertake responsible gaming initiatives, given the audience that they have. So it's something we have routinely engaged on, and I believe this is something we will have to sort out as soon as possible.
Well, the issue of addiction, I'm sure you've had this, because you also have partners that you are working with in that direction. What do the numbers look like in terms of addiction cases?
I think I should start it with the statistics we are getting from the initiatives we put in place. So last year in November, we issued responsible gaming directives. In the directives, we are basically directing all operators to put in place responsible gaming tools. Among the tools they must put in place are self-exclusions, setting limits, and on the positive side, as at today, we have 21,000 people who have self-excluded. So self-exclusion can be for a month.
I'm part of that statistic.
Ah, very good. Can be for a month.
Self-excluded
from one of the betting companies.
What was the cause?
I thought I was getting addicted. I was losing a lot of money, and it wasn't worth it. I was like,
It wasn't healthy.
Yeah, it wasn't healthy.
Financially.
So I mean, I'm happy to find that you're using the tools that we are now emphasizing that all operators must have. And out of those, about over 80 have approached us to support them in counseling. And I want to make this appeal that anyone out there who has a problem with gambling, please reach out to us. We have free services of counseling, and I can happily say that over 80 are undergoing the counseling. You know, unlike alcohol, unlike drug abuse, unless someone comes out and says, I have a problem with gambling, you will never tell.
Yeah.
But we run a number of initiatives, if you allow me. For example, on our website, we have a self-check quiz. And to you listeners out there, if you can take out a pen or something and you write down the answers, I have 10 questions. I'll pose to you. If you answer yes to 5 or more questions, then probably
I'll answer on behalf of
you will have you might have a problem. So if we can start, number one, is your time and thoughts always preoccupied by gambling activities?
For me, no.
Do you gamble to relieve a bad mood or escape problems?
No.
Do you increase amount of money to gamble with in order to win what you've lost previously?
No, for me.
Do you share? Do you chase after your losses? Have you ever lied to anyone about your gambling behavior?
Yes.
Has your gambling behavior caused damaging consequences in your family, work, school, or social life?
Yes.
Have you unsuccessfully tried to stop your gambling behavior? Do you feel restless and irritable when you try to cut or stop your gambling behavior? Have you borrowed or asked for money to gamble with? Have you ever done something illegal to get money to gamble or pay gambling debts? So if you answered yes to five or more questions
to this,
then you probably have a problem, what we call a problem gambling. So, and we then request that you reach out to us. We have a toll-free number, Clive, if you allow me, please, for the benefit of our listeners. 0800-285800. Or you can check on our website. We have a WhatsApp
for the listeners,
0800-285800. We also have a WhatsApp number, which is 0760597435. I repeat, 0760597435. So we encourage people to come out, reach out, so that we do offer them counseling services for free. And I can say I am very encouraged with the numbers that are coming in. Every day we are receiving Ugandans coming out and saying, I have a problem, I want to stop, how can I stop? We are receiving people who are writing and saying, I have accounts in 1, 2, 3, 4 operator accounts, please direct them to close. So some are utilizing the tool operator systems, some are writing to us and saying, please direct company X, Y, and Z to close my account. To me, that is the positive side of it, and for us as the gaming board, we are intensifying the awareness creation. We started with schools. We've already engaged over 200 secondary schools and universities, and this is like what Felix said, it has to be continuous. We must normalize speaking about betting, about gambling, because man, it's with us. And also to the parents, we need to understand, sometimes we introduce our young ones to betting unknowingly. If you,
because they're seeing the parent is doing it, the parent is discussing it over lunch, let's say over dinner, and let's say they happen to have one and they're happy about it, or let's say they're having a good meal and the attribute to the good meal is a result of betting sleep, which was
last year we had interestingly,
so the daughter would also want to take part in
it. Yes, last year we had our team engage Ntare school students, and six of them came out to actually share the numbers of their parents who are gambling, and they were asking us to engage their parents and talk to them
because they could see the damage that the vice was doing to the family.
But our thing, we reward our young ones with PlayStation.
Yeah.
What games are on those PlayStations? If you look at the mechanics of the games on the PlayStation, they are not any different from the mechanics on the online casino. So what were we doing? We are actually
training
them indirectly. So it is something that we must normalize talking about. They must know the dangers of gaming, but also tell them that this is entertainment. For anyone below 25, they are not supposed to engage in gaming. Gaming is for people that are 25 and above.
Because when you say gaming is for people who are 25 and above, often we have these rules set up, but following up on them to ensure that they are actually practiced is also another thing. So there the Gaming Association has to come up and crack the whip on that. You said 25, but you see so many teenagers walking.
Because everyone now has a smartphone.
Yeah, just right now, if you walk just or through Kampala, you see so many young boys struggling inside there. Of age, and nothing will be done to them. But if the whip can be cracked on that, then perhaps it will reduce on some of those numbers.
I think we are doing pretty that. We have a team that goes around doing inspections. The biggest challenge we've been having is we've been very understaffed. I had a staff of about 37 that are supposed to take care of the entire country. But with the support from the Ministry of Finance, we've been supported, and we've now opened up our regional offices, Mbale, Gulu, Mbarara. Of course, we still need more, but there are initiatives that are being undertaken to ensure that we enforce the standards that have been set.
Let's get a breather. When we return, we'll be winding up. Well, it is the final bend of the show. We have about 4 minutes to get out of here. If you're just joining us, we do have the Chief Executive Officer of the National Tourism and Gaming Regulatory Board in studio. That is Mr. Dennis Mudene Ngadirano. And with him, we are discussing the challenges that come with betting, gambling, and gaming in the country. But CEO, as we wind up, probably something that Felix mentioned earlier, and he also tried to emphasize the people who take gaming or gambling as a full-time job, yet it's supposed to be something you do for fun and not something you do to earn a living. What advice do you have for those kinds of human beings?
I think like Felix mentioned, betting, gaming or gambling, whatever he wants to call it, is simply entertainment. This is a service put in place for simply entertainment. So we encourage people that before you go to stake or bet on any game, one, make sure you have saved, you have invested, you have taken care of all the basic needs, and you only use that disposable income to gamble. No one should get out there and think that they can go and make a life out of betting. It's impossible. And if we really understand that, then we won't spend much of our time on these betting sites, and I am encouraged by the tools that have been put in place. And our focus is to make sure that we continuously engage people, continuously educate people, and to you, the sports presenters, you are actually one of the biggest drivers of betting, if I might say, because people listen to you. If you got out and gave a prediction, a cry, I can tell you there are very many people that will actually follow the prediction
and to just place a bet.
Yes. So imagine if you every day you are talking about responsible gaming, the problems that come with irresponsible gaming, then I can assure you your message will be very impactful.
Felix, your last question.
My last question would be, who are the partners that are helping you out in this awareness campaign for people to know that gaming is not actually a job, and that they should practice responsible gambling?
So we have a couple of partners that we've onboarded and we continue to onboard. One, like I mentioned, USPA, the Uganda Sports Press Association, is part of our major stakeholder and partner. We have the Ministry of Education, and this we are doing engagements together in secondary schools and tertiary institutions. Ministry of Health, especially Butabika Referral Hospital, they've supported us in counseling. We've also recently run an advertisement in the papers calling for counselors out there, and these will be paying across the country to support us, because betting is just not in Kampala only. Mm. Though 60% of the gamblers are in central region,
okay.
But we are looking at other regions. We have engaged local leaders with the establishment of regional officers. We are engaging with the local leadership to support us in response for gaming. We have other NGOs like Gambo Care that are supporting us in spreading the response for gaming messages. We are also working with village health teams. These are under the Ministry of Health that are supporting us. We are engaging with Uganda police as well on two fronts. One, to support us on enforcement, but also the community policing that engages the communities to also speak about irresponsible gambling.
Mm. Well, our time is up, but during the discussion, we'll definitely continue because, like we did say, awareness needs to be created because the lives need to be saved. I won't be asking the CEO and Felix for their predictions for the game tomorrow. All I can say,
you definitely know what
is good luck. Good luck for Miguel Adela and for you guys. I'll be back in 7 days' time together with Felix. But yes, you can make a date with me Monday, Friday, 7:30 in the morning, 4:30 in the afternoon, and at 8 p.m. in Luganda. It will be time for the news in Luganda, and thereafter, it will be time for the history replay. Enjoy your weekend.